Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Good morning, everyone. It is Tuesday, July 25th, 2017, and we are inching closer and closer to the official start of Green Bay Packers training camp. That's right. In about 48 hours, the Packers will be out on the field for their first practice of the 2017 season. It means that football is basically here. It means that my summer is basically over. And that means I'm basically in tears because I have to go back to setting an alarm every morning. And as all of you know, that is just not fun. My name is Michael Cohen, and this is the Packers Podcast. We thank you for tuning in as always. And just a reminder, we have a new format going on for the next 4 or 5 weeks, and that will be short daily podcasts every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. About 15 minutes each, I will catch you up on everything you missed at practice from the day before, any pertinent news, injury updates, quotes, anything that was important. I'll be sure to get it to you by about 5 or 6 a.m. the following morning. So be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or Audio Boom or whatever other formats are out there to listen to this podcast. Of course, it's also linked on our website, jsonline.com and packersnews.com. And let us know what you think of it. Feel free to send me a message on Twitter at Michael_Cohen13 or send me an email, michael.cohen@jrn.com. We'd love to know what you think of this idea, of this daily concept, and we can make some tweaks and adjustments as necessary while camp continues. So, even though the Packers don't hit the field until Thursday, there was action at Lambeau Field yesterday. The Packers held their annual meeting of shareholders on Monday morning inside Lambeau Field, and there were 7,000 shareholders in attendance. Now, that sounds like a big number to me because, after all, the meeting is essentially a show and dance. It's nothing official. The shareholders themselves, the individuals, have no active role in any of this, and so they come to observe and be part of something that is essentially an exhibition, a show, an event. And so 7,000 to me actually sounded like a decent number, but Packers president Mark Murphy called that a disappointment. He thought that the combination of good weather and the conscious decision to move the annual meeting of shareholders to a Monday would facilitate a larger crowd. They thought that people might come up to Green Bay and make a weekend of it. Maybe you drive or fly on Friday, Saturday morning, and stay until Sunday, stay for the meeting on Monday, and then head back to wherever you need to go. So the Packers were a little disappointed with that, but what are you going to do? Such is life in the summer, and everybody's on vacation, and everybody's doing different things, and it can be hard to get to Wisconsin with those crazy flight prices in the nicest time of the year here in Green Bay. Now, a couple things that Mark Murphy talked about. He gave a press conference after the shareholders meeting was complete and spoke to a lot of the Green Bay media, including some of my colleagues at the Journal Sentinel and the Green Bay Press Gazette. And of course, the topic of sustained success came up, just as it does every time Mark Murphy tends to get to the microphone. And what I mean by that is the concept of whether or not the Packers are too content with their continued playoff appearances and whether or not they are pushing hard enough to try and win a Super Bowl. And so Murphy weighed in on this and sort of gave another example of the party line that we have heard a lot over the last 2 years when this issue has become more and more prominent. And here's an idea of what he had to say. Quote, "So you realize that it's a spread and there's all kinds of fans, but I think the average, I would hope that the average or typical fan understands that when you work for the Packers organization and you set a record for most consecutive years in the playoffs with our history and tradition, that's pretty good. If we are fortunate enough to make the playoffs this year, we would tie the NFL record. So it's not something that is easily accomplished, particularly when the whole league is set up for parity. It's hard to have consistent success. Now, I think there's very clearly two arguments on this issue, and I think that both of them have their merits. Let's start with the idea that the Packers are too relaxed and too content with making the playoffs every year, perhaps making a deep run toward the NFC Championship game. So where does this idea come about? This comes from the concept that once the roster is put together, or as the roster is being put together, that general manager Ted Thompson is a little bit more cautious and doesn't make those last two or three or four moves over the course of a season or during free agency or whatever the case may be to elevate his team from a perennial contender to a Super Bowl favorite, like, say, the New England Patriots, where they go in just about every year thinking that they're going to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. And so a couple examples of this come to mind just in my short time covering the team. Last year, late in the season, as Demarius Randle was hurt and Sam Shields was out for the year and Quentin Rollins was hurt and the injuries just went on and on and on at the cornerback position, there was a pretty good number of fans clamoring and asking Ted Thompson, go out and sign a veteran, go out and sign a veteran, trade for a veteran, bring in somebody. They wanted some experience at that position, and I think that's a reasonable ask. I thought it was a little bizarre that Thompson didn't at least try and bring in a veteran that might be a little bit more comfortable in big game settings, that has just, you know, that understanding of what it takes to win playoff games or to win games in week 16 and 17 when you're fighting for seeding as the Packers were last year. And the same could be said for their running back situation earlier in the year when, you know, when Eddie Lacy goes on injured reserve and James Starks is struggling and eventually has a concussion and you're basically down to Ty Montgomery and Aaron Ripkowski, I think there were a lot of people out there that would have liked Thompson to bring in a veteran running back or at least sign one and give him a quick shot for a week or two and see how things goes. Now, you can say that they did that with Niall Davis earlier in the season, and you know, I think that that is a fair point to raise, because certainly that was an attempt to see if a new player could inject some life into the team. But, you know, Niall Davis is a complimentary player at best, and I think people are looking for Ted Thompson to go out and make that move, you know, the emphasis on that, the quotations, the italics on that, to heighten the emphasis, saying, go out and make that move, the one big move that will get us over the hump. And so that's that side of the argument. The other side of it is that if you go back to the beginning of this podcast with Bob and Tyler, you know, Bob has talked a lot about what it was like to cover this team in the 80s, you know, the early 90s, and even memories of what it was like in the 60s and 70s. You know, this was a time period where for a long, long time, the Packers were a very bad franchise. They were not winning games. They were not going to the playoffs, and nobody expected them to. And so ever since Brett Favre arrived and then Aaron Rodgers arrived, the Packers have essentially had 2.5 decades of unparalleled success across the league in terms of steadiness year after year, season after season, decade after decade. And so the argument on this side of the coin is that at least half the teams in the league would kill for the type of success that the Packers have had going to the playoffs 4, 5, 6, 7 years in a row under McCarthy, you know, making deep runs to the NFC Championship game, winning a Super Bowl, reaching a Super Bowl. Teams would kill for that. And so Murphy's message to those people is basically, you have to take everything with a grain of salt, because remember, in the not too distant past, in terms of the entire span of this franchise, this was not a very good franchise, and this was not a team that made the playoffs. So the fact that reaching those levels now, getting to the NFC Championship game, getting to the divisional round, making the playoffs, winning the NFC North, the fact that those things are no longer satisfying a certain portion of the fan base is an indication of just how far the organizational expectations have risen, largely because of Mr. Favre and Mr. Rodgers and the wins that they've piled up over the years. So I can see arguments from both sides, And I don't really know if there's a right answer. I think it's sort of a year-by-year basis. I think that there might be one season where Thompson makes more moves than others, a.k.a. bringing in Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks this year and trying some new things. And there might be seasons like last year where he doesn't bring in anybody, and people are left wondering, well, gosh, if we had just gotten John Smith or Steve Jones or that one player that was out there, maybe that's the guy that gets us over the hump and gets us, you know, that extra home game in the playoffs, or gets us that extra touchdown in the playoffs, and suddenly maybe the Packers are in another Super Bowl. So I can see both sides of it, and I think it's an argument that's not going to end anytime soon. A couple other items that Mark Murphy talked about. One is the idea that the Packers really, 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 really want to host the NFL draft. Now that the draft is moving around from city to city, they are dying to have it here in Green Bay. They've put in bids for 2019, 2020, and 2021. They expect to hear about 2019, about a year from now, and their argument is that if you bring the draft to Green Bay, you'll be in a place that has rich football history, that is one of the most historically important franchises in the history of the NFL, and you have an experience that's different than these large venues like Philadelphia, Chicago, New York, that are constantly brought up or have already hosted the NFL draft, because it's a completely different vibe walking through Green Bay than it is walking through Chicago, Philadelphia, and New York. Now, the one big factor that is hurting the Packers, and honestly, I don't know if they will get around it, is their ability to host a large number of people. And Murphy pointed out that last year's NFL draft brought 250,000 fans to Philadelphia. Now, that right there would be essentially double the population of Green Bay. So the idea of 250,000 people even showing up here is not going to happen, and he acknowledged that. And so the NFL has a choice to make about whether or not they want to reward a small-town franchise with an opportunity to do something unique and cool and different, and they weigh that against putting it in a large market, a Los Angeles, a Boston, you know, a Chicago, a DC, something like that, where they can make more money because more people can go. There's better images in terms of what's shown on television. There's bigger crowds. People get more excited. The event itself becomes more grandiose, more bombastic, more impressive to others, and it makes you want to go, and it makes you want to be part of it. And so the NFL has a question there. Do you go for the money side of it? Do you go for the bigger spectacle? Or do you go for maybe something unique from a historical standpoint, try something a little bit different and see how it plays out? I honestly don't know what's going to happen, but I think that the ability to house so many fewer people than those large cities is something that could really, really be difficult for the Packers when it comes to getting the NFL draft here. Another thing that he brought up, was asked about, of course, was the future of general manager Ted Thompson. This is an ongoing question as Thompson gets older and older. I think he's now, 62? Let me double check that. Ted Thompson is 64. Okay, so I was even behind on that. He turned 64 in January. He'll be 65 this coming January. And so the question remains, how much longer is he going to go? How much longer does he want to do this? And Murphy reiterated what he has said quite often in recent years, which is, quote, "Ted and I stay in touch. We talk on a regular basis. My hope is as long as he's healthy and continues to enjoy the job, is performing at a high level, he'll continue as our general manager." So in other words, as long as Ted can physically do it and continue to get the type of results he's been getting, the job is his. So we'll see how much longer he wants to continue. The last little bit of news item that Murphy was asked about is going to transition into the next topic that I want to finish today's podcast with. And Murphy was asked about whether or not it's time for him to tell Ted Thompson that LaTroy Guyon needs to be cut and should no longer be a part of the Green Bay Packers. Now, for those of you who have followed LaTroy's issues over the last few years, myself and John Diedrich, a colleague at the Journal Sentinel, wrote a very long, in-depth story about a lot of his issues dating back to his early time in the league with the Minnesota Vikings, you know, a history of battery charges, accusations of hitting a woman in the face who was the mother of his child. Of course, he had the drug and gun arrest when he was a member of the Packers. Then, within the last month or two, he had the arrest for driving while intoxicated. He has the performance-enhancing drug suspension. And so basically, Murphy was asked, at what point is enough enough and you get rid of a guy that is a very mediocre player? He is league-wide an extremely mediocre player. And I remember in last year's version of Bob McGinn's annual NFC North poll, where he talks to executives around the division to find how they rank players at each position, Guyon is not well regarded even among the NFC North. So you extrapolate that out to the course of the entire league, and this is a guy that is a very mediocre player, and you're giving him a very long leash with a track record that is frankly embarrassing. And for what reason? And Murphy's answer was that it's been talked about internally, and he's going to leave those decisions and those discussions private. So it seems like at some point Ted Thompson or Mike McCarthy will have to answer for those, because Murphy doesn't want to. And the reason I bring that up is because both John and I got a lot of heat for writing that story and for going back through Guyon's past and sort of tracing his continued behavior and examples of poor decisions and frankly unlawful decisions that he's had. And people said, well, this is old news. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, just since that story came out, which was, I think, October of 2015, you know, he's already been suspended once for performance-enhancing drugs. He's been arrested again. I mean, this is just a guy that is a perpetual troublemaker. And it's fair to ask, at what point is enough enough? And so that's why we do these things. If there is a pattern of repeated behavior that is likely to repeat itself again, it is newsworthy, regardless of how old it is. And so that's the reason we look into this kind of stuff. And it also, the same situation and the same logic applies to Geronimo Allison and Darren Perry. I broke the story last year that Geronimo Allison was arrested and charged with possession of marijuana. And people said to me, big deal, it's just marijuana, it's a small amount, it was only three joints or three blunts, whatever it was. I can't exactly remember the amount. And they're right, that is a small amount. And they're right, there are certain states in which that is legal in this country. But it doesn't matter, because it is a banned substance by the NFL. And people saying that we pointed it out for no reason, well, the reason that we pointed it out is because of what happened last week. Geronimo Allison was suspended for the first game of the regular season. So you're trying to tell us that reporting on something that could lead to a suspension is not newsworthy? It's just silly. I understand that this is an organization that a lot of people revere and love and cherish, but you have to understand that just like the companies you work for, the companies that I've worked for, the different teams around the league, the different organizations, everything is a cross-section of society. And there's going to be people that are exemplary human beings and do everything well and everything right the way they're supposed to. And then there's going to be other people that make mistakes. And Geronimo Allison made a mistake, a legal mistake that is against league rules. So we pointed it out, and look what happened. He was suspended. Another example, Darren Perry. People got on me for that one as well, because I broke the story that Darren Perry, the safeties coach for the Packers, was arrested and charged with driving a vehicle while intoxicated. He had a history of driving while intoxicated. I believe it was the third or fourth drunk driving charge that he's faced in his life. And I got less flack for that, but still some people saying that, you know, you should be reporting on things going on with the team itself, not necessarily what the coaches are doing at night. Well, flash forward, and Darren Perry, the legal situation surrounding him comes to a conclusion. He has to pay just under a $1,000 fine, and he loses his driving privileges for 8 months. Now, that's something that influences his ability to do his job. He has to find a way to get to work now for 8 months, starting later this year. And so for the people that don't understand why we report on these things, it's because it influences what goes on with the Packers. A guy that gets caught with marijuana faces a suspension, so we report on it whenever we find out about that news. If a guy gets caught drinking and driving, we report on it because it's likely going to influence the way he does his job. And that's exactly what happened with Darren Perry. So I know that that's not the case with all of you. I got a lot of support from tons of listeners and readers saying, yes, we want you to report on this stuff because these people deserve to be held accountable. But there was an equally large, if not larger, segment of the fan base that gave me lots of flack on Twitter and emails and things like that, saying that I'm poking my nose in places where it doesn't belong. Well, when it's going to influence the way the Packers do their job, or the way that a season is going to play out, or the way that the roster is going to be shaped, all of these things are valid with Latrobe Troy Guy on, with Geronimo Allison, with Darren Perry. And so we're going to continue to report on them. And that's just part of the job. You cover the football, you cover the business, you cover the legal side of it. That's what it means to be a beat writer, and that's the way that I approach the job. So I hope that you guys will continue to read our coverage, whether it's positive, negative, indifferent. We're going to do as fair of a job as we can, praise when it deserves to be praised, criticize when criticism is warranted, and that's just kind of how this business goes. So I appreciate those of you who have supported our efforts to chronicle this team in as fair a way as possible, and I hope that some of the people that don't really understand why we go down these legal paths, maybe this will give you a little bit of a better idea, because all three of the legal situations that I've reported on in depth in my time covering the Packers, all three have led to significant issues for those people in terms of how they can do their job. And that's all I wanted to say about that. It's something that I know Bob and I have discussed before on this podcast, and I went over the time limit, the 15 minutes that I said I would, because I really wanted to get that across now that these two issues have been resolved and both have really led to significant punishments. So I thought it was worth bringing up. But that's where we will finish the Tuesday version of the Packers podcast. I thank you so much for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.